going to be in the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll be looking at verses 27 through 20, or 23 through 27, I should say. Proverbs chapter 4. Last week, I'm sorry, Children's Church. Yes. Children's Church can be dismissed. I don't know what that is on our backpack carrying a horse, but I kind of want one. Yeah. Attached to the back one. That's pretty neat. All right. Last week we dealt with the question, why can I be happy? And something that probably has affected every one of us, and we struggle with simply being happy. Today, asking a different kind of question. What's going on? In particular, what's going on with our heart? And so that's what we're going to look at today here in Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll start reading in verse 23. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again for the privilege to be in your house today. Father, we thank you for all those that are here. And Lord, as we deal with this subject on mainly and primarily concerned the matters of the heart, I pray that you would give us wisdom and clarity of thought. I pray that you use it to be a help and encouragement, Lord, to your people here. I pray if someone's here today never come to a saving knowledge of you, that you would convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, all these things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In his book entitled Influence, Dr. Robert Caladini of Arizona State University relates the story of a jewelry store owner who was preparing to go on a vacation and left some instructions to his staff. They had a fine line of jewelry that hadn't been selling very well, and she wanted to get it all priced, cut in half, to try to sell all of the jewelry. In her haste, however, she left the note, and it was unclear. When she returned, she was delighted to find that every piece of jewelry was gone. She was, however, shocked to find out that her staff had doubled the price of the jewelry. The pieces that hadn't been selling went out the door immediately once the price was raised, because it changed the way people thought about them. Our thoughts determine our actions. What seems to be shocking and out of character behavior would be explained if we could see the thought process that had been going on internally. Jesus said, "A man out of a good heart, good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and the evil man out of evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." It is impossible to do right when we are always thinking wrong for an extended period of time. What is on the inside will eventually come out. If you want your life to be marked by righteous actions, you must think righteous thoughts. That's why Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." The Bible also tells us in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 3, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." The perception of those pieces of jewelry, or what had actually did to that actual jewelry, nothing changed other than the price. The only thing that changed was the actual perception of the jewelry itself, what people thought about it. And friend, when you start to look at our own lives, we can illustrate it this way as the gauges in your car. Now, everybody has gauges, or I hope you have gauges that work, because they're an indication on what's going on with your car. For example, some of the gauges tell you how fast you're going. There's another gauge that tells you the approximate temperature. Maybe it doesn't give the exact temperature, but it tells you whether your engine's hot or cold. There's another gauge that tells you maybe the oil pressure that is in your car. There's another gauge that tells you how much you have left in the tank. Some of y'all don't pay attention to that one. And then you call and say, I need gas, right? Some of you don't pay attention to the speedometer either. You just kind of go with what feels good. Why are some of you bowing your heads? I see. I'm not even getting into preaching yet, amen. I'm just trying to help set the tone. So as we look at this here, we can ask our, you know, these gauges or these instruments tell us what's going on essentially with our car. There's the one that we referred to on the bottom right, the small one, the temperature gain. The one above that is our RPMs. Generally, if that one's high, this one over here is probably going to be high. Okay, they almost work together somewhat. Then there's one here that I have loved ones and family that don't pay attention to that one. That little bitty one right there, because every time I get into a vehicle, it's on the little letter that says E. Okay, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Okay, I feel like I spent half my life pumping gasoline. I'm just saying. But anyhow, essentially these gauges, church, tell us what's going on with our vehicle. There's some things that the Bible tells us that's an indication on what's going on with your heart. And really, church, that's what we want to focus in on today, is talk about some things on what's going on with your heart. I've literally had people come to my office and say, Pastor, something's wrong with me, and I don't know quite what it is. It's really not a secret, friend. I'm going to tell you right now that it's a heart problem. It's always a heart problem, okay? Maybe you're saying things, doing things that you feel like you ought to not be doing, but friend, it is always a heart problem. The heart is the heart of the matter. And so that's what we're looking at today. Did you notice in our text that it said in verse 23, to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep also has the same idea of guarding or protecting. Yesterday we went on a little trip up to South Mountain, and I love it. I do not like the drive up and the drive down. Robert's telling me they're driving on places where one of the dually wheels gets off on the edge. I cannot deal with that. If that's how you drive, I will not ride with you on the way up to South Mountain. Okay? I have an issue with heights, all right? I have an issue with being up places where it's really not being up high. It's actually the thought of hitting the ground really hard that bothers me. Okay? But anyhow, we went up there. And there's a lot of good things that came from that. There's a lot of good things that we've seen. But what I'm trying to say is that when you start to get into places like that where I you get nervous, my heart started pumping really fast. I actually noticed, I mean, we did a lot of walking yesterday. And because I was in a tense situation, I got a watch here. It's actually a runner's watch. And it had jumped up to 132. Now, I don't know what's normal for you or for not, but when I'm in a long-paced run, my average heart rate's 143 for the whole run. So that gives you an idea of how high that had gone up. So there was a little bit of a gauge that was telling me kind of what's going on with my heart. Now, when we got up to the top, it kind of calmed down. It's fine. But there was an indication. There was a little bit of a gauge and telling us what's going on. When we look at what we're seeing here today, friend, to guard or protect, that means that you must know what's going on at all time with your heart, or really destruction starts to happen in your life. Things literally start to fall apart. The first thing that we're looking at there is the actual heart itself, as we just read, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible also tells us in Matthew 12:34, I read another passage in Luke just a moment ago, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now let me ask you a question, friend. If you're hammering away and you're doing construction, and as you're nailing, driving nails into a piece of wood, and you hit the wrong nail, are you with me? and you hit the wrong nail and I've done it, it's not fun and it's not a good feeling. And then all of a sudden some things come out of your mouth that things that you normally don't say. Let's be honest, was it the hammer that made us say it, or was it an actual indication of what's really on the inside? Now, if you believe what Jesus says is true, Jesus is the one that says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, some will say, well, Pastor, I was hurt, and you would understand. Well, that means that those words are buried deep down inside of you somewhere. And all that hammer did was expose what's on the inside. That's the reality. That's the truth. And you see, friend, oftentimes we blame circumstances. We blame things that happen. We blame what other people are doing. And we say things that really shouldn't be coming out of our mouth. And you say, well, they made me say that. No, all it did, according to what the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching, is actually expose what's on the inside. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when we start to say things and do things, it's not that somebody made you do it, friend. All it is actually revealing who you are. It tells us a lot about you. And in fact, like I was talking about yesterday, when you're in tense situations, oftentimes when that's when things are exposed. When I was driving up and driving down, and my watch is saying you're at 132, which is pretty high for just sitting driving in a car, it gave you an indication of the actual gauge of my heart. But you see, friend, if we don't pay, well, the problem is we live through life, we see all these things, we coast through life, and we actually pay no indication to the gauges that God has put in the Word of God to help us determine what's actually going on in our life. So we see, first of all, that it's a heart issue. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. From it come the rest of the problems. From the heart determines our attitude. From the heart determines our spirit. From the heart determines what we do in life. From the heart determines how we look at things. From the heart determines how we speak. It's all a matter of the heart. Now, if you notice, he also says, as we keep going along there, it mentions in our main text in the next verse, put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So the first thing, obviously, is it starts with the heart. That's where all the issue. Let me ask a question. How many of you ever been in trouble for saying something you should not say? Okay. Open mouth and insert foot. You've been there. I've been there. But you know, really, friend, we can, well, preacher, I just speak. It's not a matter with your mouth. It's a matter of your heart. Now, he says, first of all, protect your heart, guard your heart. The other thing about going up to the mountain yesterday is that I want to guard and protect my children, right? I don't want them getting close to the edge and say, Daddy, I'll be all right. No, Daddy said, you're not going. Okay? You stay right here, close to me, stay by the rail. That's just how I feel about it. If I don't want to fall, I certainly don't want my kids to fall, right? I mean, it's just not something that I just like, the idea of being close to the edge. And they want to be, some of them. I don't even want to talk about Dylan and some of the things that he was doing. He started to climb down the mountain. What is wrong with this kid? Anybody got somebody we can refer him to? Because I was concerned. I finally got I'm not following him. If you want to go down there, you're a grown boy, you're 24 years old, if you want to fall off the mountain, then you do it. I'm not going with you. But our natural reaction, and I only say that, church, because we as parents, you want to guard your children, you want to protect your children. But do you realize that in essence, help and protect your children is protecting and guarding your own heart? Children will emulate what they see. How you react to situations is how a parent reacts to situations. It always amazes me, even in Christian education, when kids have certain reactions to things and they say, well, that's just how little Johnny is. Well, probably little Johnny has seen mommy and daddy react to situations similar to that, and that has become acceptable behavior of what's in the home. Are you with me, church? Is everybody okay this morning? It's a matter of the heart. So we see that Christ himself emphasized, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart, guard thy heart, protect thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, with that being said, there's some other things that we should look at. The book of Proverbs speaks a lot about our tongue and our mouth. Put away from thee a forward mouth. We just read, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, let me say something, friend. When you get saved and become a child of God, I understand that not everything is changed in your life right away. The Bible does say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. What that means is that, spiritually speaking, we have an old nature. But now when you get saved, you get a new nature. And so what should be happening in our life, we should start to see changes in our lives. We don't say everything we should. We don't go everywhere we go. We don't do everything that we used to do. Because God is literally starting to change our heart. Spiritually speaking, he's given us a new heart. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But he's given us a new heart. That means everything's fresh and everything is new. So I get it sometimes takes time. But I've come to find out that the closer you get to the Lord, the better progression of these things you'll start to see happen in your life. So he says there in that verse, put away from thee a forward mouth. Friends, that is something. When you put away, you get away from that, you cast it away. That is something that we as Christians ought to guard, is our mouth and our tongues. You realize, friends, that the things that you say have such lasting effect. I remember reading the story of a young man who always had trouble saying things that he shouldn't say. Started getting himself in trouble, was getting in trouble at school. And his father said, you know what I want you to do? Every time you speak amiss or say something you shouldn't, I want you to go and you drive a nail into that fence post. So boy, he was sometimes coming in 2 or 3 times a day, driving in nails into that fence post. And then he finally got to the place where, you know what, this is, I'm getting tired of coming out here to this fence post, getting a nail, and driving nails into this fence. I'm going to do something about it. And I'm going to start to watch my mouth a little better. And then he started to get better. So the dad had a new project for him. He said, all right, son, every day that you go and you have a day where you guard your mouth and you guard your tongue and you prevent yourself from saying things that you shouldn't say, I want you to go and pull a nail out of that fence post. Well, yeah, I like that. I like the idea of having to take those things out. You know, after, so he went and he started taking these nails out, and eventually, he had all the nails gone out of that fence post. And the little boy thought, well, then am I good, Dad? I guess everything's all right now. Now I've taken all the nails out of that fence. He said, I want you to go take another look at that fence post. And he took a look at that fence post, and there was holes all through that fence post. And even though essentially he had, in theory, repaired the damage by taking that nail back, the scars were still there. Let me explain something real quick to you, church. Sometimes we think we get in a place where we can say whatever we want, speak whatever we want, and then say I'm sorry, and then think it's all okay. What you don't realize is the scars are still there. You cannot take those scars back. You can say I'm sorry. You can go through a restoration process by pulling that nail out, if you will. But friends, the scar is still there. You know, one of the ones that we often drive nails into the most is our own loved ones. We say things. I realize that obviously you speak differently with your family. You're not going to be as open with others as maybe your own family. But we're constantly driving nails and wedges with our spouses, with our children. And you can say, I'm sorry, but the damage is done. What's said is said. And after you say it, it's kind of like pulling the trigger on a gun. Once you pull that trigger, you can't take it back. Say, well, I guess I need to watch what I say. Friend, you're missing the point. I'm trying to encourage you to check what's going on with your heart. Because the Bible literally says, out of the abundance of the heart. It's really not your tongue that I'm as concerned about as your heart. It's really not your mouth that I'm concerned about as much as I'm concerned about your heart. That's literally what the Bible is teaching us. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The next verse that we read 23, where it starts in the center, the heart of the matter is the heart. 24 gives us an example, one indication or a gauge. So essentially what I'm trying to tell you is that your mouth is a gauge of what's actually in your heart. So how do you get to know people? Probably one of the biggest ways is how they talk, how they speak, the kind of things they talk about. If they're complainers, then they're not thinkers. If they constantly go around talking about how everything's wrong in their life, they don't have a thankful heart, friend. But yet, you know, we taught last week, and a brother in our church reminded me, for this is the will of God concerned, talking about being thankful. That's part of God's will for your life, is to have a thankful heart, literally. So if we're constantly going around complaining about everything wrong in our life and complaining about everybody else, then what that tells me is that you have no gratitude in your heart. It's a gauge. It's a gauge. It's literally giving insight into your heart. That temperature gauge is literally telling me how hot my engine is running. And the reason why that's important, because you know if an engine overheats, that can cause severe damage and literally lock up or burn up your engine. If that tank's running empty, that's kind of an issue, because if you're in the middle of nowhere and you run out of gas, you're not going to go any further. Those gauges are there for a reason. The Bible has given us some spiritual gauges right here, and the very first one is the heart. The mouth. The second one that we see is in verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. The second gauge of our heart, first is the mouth, the second is our eyes. In Psalms chapter 101 and verse 3, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Say, why does that matter so much, Pastor? I think in light of that scripture, let's also read Lamentations 3:51. Lamentations 3:51. Mine eye affecteth mine what? Heart. Mine eye affecteth my heart because of the daughters of my city. So in Psalms it's saying I'm not going to put wicked things in front of my eyes. In Lamentations he's saying what I see affects my heart. So what we are learning from the Bible is that what somebody says, how they speak, how they talk to people, is actually a gauge of what's in their heart. The Bible is also telling us that what we are seeing is actually literally affecting our heart. And that can be for the good, for the bad. For example, if you go by somewhere and you see a family in true need and you go to their house and you assess a situation, you visually actually see what's going on, it's probably going to tug at your heart. And you're going to say, you know what, this family needs food. This family needs clothing. This family needs somebody to tell them that Jesus loves them and that somebody cares. That's what would happen to most Christians with somewhat of any kind of compassion in their life at all. what you saw literally affected your heart and you did something about it. But it also works in the negative direction as well. If you're always putting things in front of you that are wicked and sinful, what do you think it's going to do to your heart? The Bible literally says, mine eye affecteth my heart. So what you see affects your heart. So if we're constantly, and I don't know, friend. I mean, people often tell me, you know, are you reading my mail? You know, are you checking up on me on Facebook or what? No, I mentioned, I don't got time for all that. But what I'm saying is that if we're watching things on television that we shouldn't be watching, it affects our heart. And that can go with our hearing, too. In this particular passage, it doesn't mention our hearing, but there is other scripture that would indicate that as well. So what we see and what we hear affects our mind and our heart. It literally has an influence on it. The other perspective that I want to give you concerning our eyes, in a spiritual sense, it also should make a difference on which way we're looking as far as direction in life. Did you notice that it actually says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee? What do you think that it's talking about? Let me illustrate it to you this way. Do you remember when Peter was walking on water? When was he walking on water? When he kept his eyes on who? On Christ. When he kept his eyes on Christ, he was literally able to walk on water. But the moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. And he started to notice everything else around him. And he started to say, boy, the winds and the sea, there's too much trouble around me. I can't focus on Christ. I can't have faith. I can't do all these things. In fact, Lord, I need your help. Friend, spiritually speaking, our vision ought to be fixated on the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's fixated on a person, including the preacher, if it's fixated on a spouse, if that's your main focus, friend, I promise you, you're going to be let down. But when you're fixed and you're focused on Jesus, I like the way John the Baptist said, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He was fixated on Christ. And look at what Peter was able to accomplish when he kept his eyes on Jesus. You see, what you see affects your heart. It literally affected Peter's faith by staying focused on Christ. So we're talking about the heart as the center of the problem. We mentioned an indication or a gauge of our heart is a big gauge of that is what comes out of our mouth. We've noticed the effect of the eyes on our heart. Let's talk for just a moment on the significance of direction. In verse 26, he says, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Friend, what often scares me is that there's people living and they're going places in life, but they actually have no direction. Just because you're going somewhere, just because you're doing something, doesn't mean that you have direction in life. You see, friend, if your plan does not include the things of God, it's probably a good time to sit down and evaluate your life. Lord, what am I doing with my life? If your plan does not involve serving God, serving others, and you serve God by serving others, by the way, if it does not involve Christ as the very center, Colossians chapter 1:18 references Christ in that he must have preeminence in our life. That word preeminent means first in rank or influence. And often what we have allowed is our jobs to be the primary influence in our life, or earning a living to be the primary influence in our life, or our hobbies to be a priority as in first rank in our life. And Sometimes we can even have the wrong focus on a particular family member. Now, do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not telling you not to care for your family. I'm not telling you you shouldn't have a job. In fact, you should go to work, especially men. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. The Bible is very clear about that. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not telling you not to work. I'm not telling you not to care for his family. But let me remind you that Jesus said, this is going to bother you when you first hear this now, but hang on, let me explain it to you, that if you hate not your father and your mother, you cannot be my disciple. You say, what? He wants me to hate my parents? That's not what the word hate means there. There's multiple meanings of the word hate concerning the Bible, and it literally means to love less. In other words, you love Christ more than you love your family. That's all that it's telling us. It didn't say not to love your family. It just means that you love Christ first more than you love your family. So this verse tells us to ponder. How did it say it? Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. It's not literally just talking about the steps that I'm taking walking around the sanctuary. It's talking about the steps that you're taking in life. Now, if you walk in here, you pay attention to your step. I mean, when I come down there, subconsciously, I'm noticing that there's a step down and another step down. I probably should do that because if I don't, I'm probably going to end up in Roger's lap. Okay? And about 4 or 5 of you guys are going to be trying to pick me up, dust me off. It's important. Yeah, that could be too. It's important to pay attention to your steps. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by ourself. No, it says the Lord. We're concerned about the direction that you're going in life. And if your direction does not include the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, you may be living, but you have no direction in life. Just because you're breathing doesn't mean you're living. It doesn't include the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. Something's missing. He must be first in preeminence. He must be first in rank or influence, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. We've talked about the heart is the center. The heart is the heart of the matter. We've talked about a gauge into our heart is what comes out of our mouth. We're talking about things that affect our heart. And we're talking about the significance of direction because, friend, when your heart's right with the Lord, you will consider the Lord on the direction of your life. And you will have a desire not to live without putting Christ as the number one priority in your life. Part of the solution that we see, let me rephrase that to say the primary solution we see, we find right here in the Word of God. Let me share with you a couple of scriptures. In Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Every one of us needs to be cleaned up from time to time. In fact, in your daily life, probably most of us take a bath or a shower every single day or whenever it is that you do, and it's because you need to be cleaned up. If you went for a period of time without one, everybody else would know. I mean, it's just a fact of life. You clean yourself up because you're dirty. What makes us think that we can live life without coming to the Lord and asking God to clean us up? That's part of what should be a regular practice and routine in our life. Why do you think the psalmist says, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me? He's literally asking God to check him out, see what needs to be scrubbed, see what needs to be cleaned up, see what needs to be improved in my life. Lord, show me what's wrong. See if there be any wicked way. And friend, when we do that, God will show us. But the Bible tells us, cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the emphasis there, if you need to be a little bit cleaning up, that means you probably need to pay attention more to the Word of God. Of course, if we're putting Christ in his proper place, we're in our Bibles every day, more than just even when we come to church. Okay? Literally allowing the Bible to wash us. Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Preacher, I have trouble falling into sin, doing things I shouldn't do. Well, the psalmist said one of the ways that he overcomes that is by hiding the word in his heart. Is that not what he said? Thy word have I hid in my where? Heart. That am I not sinning against thee? Why? Because the word of God affects your heart. The word of God affects your heart. If your gauge in your car says I'm on E, you put more gas in it. Helps keep you going. Isn't it funny that you have to keep putting gas in your car? Especially now, it seems like you're doing it more often. And it seems like you have to pay more to put gas in your car. Now, if you were to purchase a car and it comes with a full tank of gas, you cannot expect it to run on that full tank of gas as long as you own that car. It amazes me, church, how many times people can come to the house of God one time, receive Christ as their personal Savior, and think that that tank of gas is going to get them through the rest of their life. You have to continuously come to the house of God and get another fill-up. Because what happens is you're going to run out of fuel and you're going to quit serving God. You're not going to think about God. You're not going to live for God. You're not going to do anything for the Lord. So just like you have to refill your car, what makes us think that we can live life, friends, without coming to the house of God and getting a fill up? Because you understand the spiritually speaking, that's actually what's going on. You cannot live on a tank of gas a year. You can't live on a tank of gas on Easter and Christmas. It's just not enough. If you filled up your car one time at Easter and one time at Christmas, do you think that's enough to get you through the rest of the year? Friend, it's no different spiritually speaking. You can't expect a fill-up on Christmas and Easter to be enough to get you through the year. I'm trying to help you, church. I'm trying to encourage you to pay attention to these gauges in your life that God has shown us in the Bible. Check your heart, check our tongues, check our eyes, check our feet. Because the feet are an indication of direction. Feet can tell you where you've been and also probably where you're going. Let me say this and I'm through. In fact, I'll ask my wife if she'll come or whoever's coming to the piano. The heart, dealing with the heart is a pretty serious matter, friend. Probably Brother Dana could speak better about this. He spoke some about it not long ago, and he indicated that maybe he'll speak more about it another time, but probably most of you know Brother Dana's had a heart transplant. Many of you might not have met him. He's the one who operates. What you see here going on, Brother Dana's taking care of that. He works behind the scenes. He's taking care of all that. But Brother Dana literally had a physical heart transplant. Without it, probably wouldn't be here. The average cost of a heart transplant, now these statistics may have changed. The average cost of a heart transplant, including the necessarily medical drugs after surgery, is approximately $864,000. Yet, the best heart transplant that a man can receive costs him nothing at all. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. And what that's telling us, friend, say, Pastor, I've got an old hard-hearted heart. As indicated in that scripture where he says, I'll take out that stony heart, that heart that's gone hard, and I'll replace it with a soft one that's tender. A heart of flesh If you contrast the heart of stone versus the heart of flesh is soft and tender. But what I'm trying to tell you ultimately, friend, if you're here today and you have never given your heart to Jesus, I want to tell you that He'll give you a new heart, spiritually speaking. He'll take out that old stony heart out of your life and He'll put in a brand new one that's soft and tender and sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Because you see, friend, the Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me also give you this scripture here. I want you to see it because the heart is the biggest issue that we're talking about today. In Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He goes on to say in verse number 10, Dana, if you want to grab that one too. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a heart issue. If you're here today, friend, and you've never been saved by the grace of God, God will give you a fresh, brand new heart. All you have to do is do what we just read and confess with your mouth. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to come into your heart, spiritual heart, and save your soul. And that's exactly what He'll do. He says in verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that God will take you, friend, exactly how you are right now. It makes no difference who you are. It makes no difference what you've done. It makes no difference what's happened in your life. The Lord will accept you exactly how you are right now. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. What's going on with your heart today, friend? What's going on with your heart? Nobody looking around. I fear that maybe there's some here today that have never given their heart over to Christ. And by that I mean, if they were to die today, they don't know for sure. You don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Friend, you can get that settled here this morning before you leave here today. Why would you want to leave with there being any kind of chance that you don't know that you're saved? Most of you know that I work in the insurance industry. And besides the fact that it's the law, but most people have insurance coverage in case something happens. Most of us don't believe that it will, but that's why you have insurance in case it does, to protect you. Friend, what makes us think that if we're here without Christ and we've never given our heart over to Jesus, we never think that it's going to happen, but what if it does? Why put it off? It would break our hearts to think that you were here this morning, you knew that you needed to be saved, you knew that you needed Christ, and you just put it off. I'll do it another time, friend. There's no promise of tomorrow. There's no guarantee that we'll be here tonight. We plan to be. I plan on coming to church tonight and having a great time. But friend, there's no promise that. I can't promise that, and you can't promise me that. If you're here today, friend, and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, you've never given your heart over to Jesus, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, would you slip up your hand real quick and put it back down and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? Thank you, I see that hand. Who else? Thank you. I see that hand. Who else say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? There's several hands here. Who else will say that? Anybody? Anybody? I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. Let me ask this question. Say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I've given my heart to Jesus a long time ago. But there's some things in my heart that need to be checked out. I need to check some things. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Would you pray for me? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see those hands. You may put them down. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Who else? Who else? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to do this. Connor, I want you to go to the piano. Myself and my wife are going to be available at the altar. As I'm praying, I want you to go to the piano. And if you're here today, friend, and you're not sure, and you lifted your hands that you're not sure whether you've given your heart to Jesus, I want to ask if you'll come down and the ladies talk to my wife for just a minute. Let me talk to you men for just a minute. So that way we can have it settled. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your goodness, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in church today. Lord, I want to pray for those who are not sure they've given their heart over to you. Lord, you know the condition of their heart, and I thank you, Lord, for their desire. And Lord, I pray that you would help them to come forward. And Lord, so that they can get the help and we can show them from the Bible, Lord, how to obtain salvation. Father, we pray for those ones who lifted their hands and said, Lord, I need some things checked out in my heart. I've been saved. I've trusted the Lord as my personal Savior. God, there's a great need here today, and we ask for your help. I pray that you touch them in a special way. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye still closed, if you lifted your hand and you're not sure about your salvation, would you come? Would you come? Don't be afraid, friend. I'm just going to take my Bible and show you. Would you step forward? Who'll be the first to come? Say, I'd like to get it settled today. We'll take you off to the side and speak to you privately for just a moment. Who'll do that? Who'll be the first to come? Don't be embarrassed, friend. Would you come? My wife's here and I'm here available for you. Would you come? Would you come, friend? Get it settled. Get it settled while God's still speaking to your heart. Don't leave here and let the devil take that conviction away of what the Lord is trying to tug at your heart to do. Would you just come? Would you step out? We'll be the first one. Don't be ashamed, friend. Don't be embarrassed. You'll get nothing but love and support here at this church for making the choice. There comes one. Who'll be another one? Who'll be another one? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? How about you, friend? How about you? Don't be embarrassed. Would you come? Maybe somebody will come with you. Bring a family member with you. Or come down and support your family member. Would you come? I know God's speaking to your heart. There comes another one. There comes another one. How about you, friend? How about you? We're going to take a couple minutes to pray with these folks. I'm going to ask my son if he'll play and maybe sing a song if God lays on his heart. It's not too late for you, friend. Thank you. some of you might be wondering what's going on. I'm just telling you, God's speaking to hearts this morning, church. And honestly, that's the most important thing that we can do, is to give people an opportunity to make a decision about Christ. A couple have already come. There's still time for you, friend. If you're here today and you're not sure, I want to encourage you to come. Maybe you'll come and talk to us after the service. But don't leave here until you get it settled, friend. It's just not worth the risk. It's just not worth the risk. We had one man already come. He's given his heart over to Jesus already, but the Lord is speaking to his heart, and he has a desire to follow the Lord, to grow as a Christian, and to even submit to his will by the indication of what he's telling me. That's something only God can do, friend. I can't do that. That's out of my hands. I can't change a heart. I can't fix a heart. That's the Lord. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to go to the back. And if somebody else still needs to come and talk, then you let me know. We'll go somewhere and we'll talk for a little bit. The most important thing that I'll do is to tell you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and receive Him in your heart. So if you see me step out, church, please know, as Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business, that I'll be doing the Lord's work. So I'm going to pray. Actually, I'm going to ask Brother Kevin, would you come pray so I can go back to the back and be prepared? We're going to dismiss the service now, but we're going to continue on tonight. I don't really, on Sunday mornings, like the idea of dismiss. Let's call it an adjournment. Let's take a little break and come back tonight. If you need your pastor this morning, I'm available to you. Brother Kevin, would you pray?
You bow your heads with me. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for moving in our hearts. Thank you for this call to glory for you. Help us throughout the rest of the week. Bring us back. Keep us safe. And Father, we thank you for this fellowship and freedom to have it and enjoy it. And so please be with us. Please keep moving through hearts and help us to find the courage to look for you, God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed.